You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity evaluator, and it's your one-stop source for information on giving and also reports on the most asked about charities. I'm Art Taylor, and today I'm going solo. Normally, when you hear the Heart of Giving podcast, you can expect that there's going to be a guest along with me, and I'm going to be interviewing them about the great work they're doing to better society or improve the world or tell us something new about how to engage our charitable instincts. But today, I've decided that it's worth taking a look back on 2021 and trying to see if there's some signals that we can pay attention to based on what happened then that will give us some indication of what we might expect in 2022 and possibly beyond. Now, I know some of these things you will have heard yourself and you may agree with, but there may be some other things that you take issue with, and I can't wait to hear your reaction to what I'm going to say. But I am pretty confident about some of these ideas based on the number of people that I've talked to about these issues, and many of these issues I'm also in some way connected with. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say, so let me get this underway. So the first issue is giving. And by giving, I mean, has giving actually increased? Well, in fact, according to our friends at the Lilly School of Philanthropy at Indiana University, giving is in fact increasing, which is great to hear. We're getting more money to charities. And by that, by giving, I mean giving to actual charitable organizations. There are other ways of giving, of course. We're not talking about that right now. But as far as giving to charitable organizations, it is indeed up. Great news. And for a lot of reasons, I think we can expect that giving will continue to rise. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But let me talk about the bad news first. The bad news is that while giving is up, the number of people actually giving to organizations, that is the number of families that reported that they gave to a charity, is actually down. And this has been in decline since the year 2000. And there was a study completed by the Giving USA Foundation that reported between the years 2000 and 2016, that the number of people giving to organizations is down by a significant amount. In fact, in 2018, it was reported, that's the last year we have data, that only 49.5% of families actually gave to charities. And that is down from 66% in the year 2000. So that's a significant decline in the number of families giving to charitable organizations. And I think that's kind of a bad news story, because what does it say about our democracy if individuals aren't voting with their dollars to support the interests and causes that matter to them? Now, we can say, fine, there are many reasons why people choose not to give to a charitable organization. But it's my opinion that our country wasn't really built on this notion that only wealthy people would be giving to charity. And that's kind of what we're beginning to see. The increases that we're seeing in charitable giving are coming primarily from super wealthy and moderately wealthy individuals, where average households are leaving their donations behind and not making them. So I think that some type of statement that's being made by people not giving to charitable organizations in the same way. Now, I also want to say that there are potentially other reasons why people aren't giving. First of all, if you consider the way that charities go about soliciting these days, many more development offices are focused on reaching large donors, and for good reason. It costs significant sums of money to get a donation, so you might as well be spending that money going after people who have the most to give and not spending as much time trying to generate large numbers of small gifts. So we've seen this continue for some years. In fact, even the United Way has a development team focused on generating $10 million gifts. If you remember, the United Way was always the organization that we could depend on to make small gifts through our payroll deduction programs. This could also be a reason why families aren't giving as much. Maybe the United Way's programs to focus on giving at the workplace aren't as robust as they used to be. Another entity we used to give large numbers of small donations to is the Combined Federal Campaign. The Combined Federal Campaign is not what it used to be, and there are far fewer people who participate every year in the Combined Federal Campaign. So two major engines that used to gather large numbers of small donations, Combined Federal Campaign and United Way, have been in decline in terms of how they go about raising money, getting those small donations for many, many years. Also, you can add to that, that younger people, I'm told, feel that there are other ways for them to contribute to society rather than giving money to a charity. Some of them will also report, particularly those with college loans, that they don't have the resources right now to make gifts to charities. And when you don't grow up in a habit of giving, what happens later on as you get older is maybe you never start giving. So these are potentially some issues that may be keeping people from giving money to charity. You can add to that this general sense that there's a decline in trust in institutions. Now, charities have always fared better than businesses and government and even the media when it comes to the types of organizations that people trust. However, charities have been affected by this general lack of trust in institutions that people have. And anytime there is a scandal or a news story that's written about a particular charitable organization, it does affect the confidence that people have in making charitable gifts. And it also affects the way that and the amounts that I think people give. One other point I want to bring up is that our society is also becoming, as we can all see, increasingly diverse. And many charities will tell you that they haven't quite figured out yet how to reach these more diverse audiences. And that is really a shame because we commissioned a study, the Wise Giving Alliance, in our donor trust report that said significantly more people from minority groups would give more if asked. So we have this disconnect. We have charities continuing to solicit the wealthier and more traditional audiences and not wanting to spend money finding and reaching out to more diverse groups. And you have the diverse groups saying that they would give if they were asked. So we have a real disconnect that needs to find a way to be bridged if we're able to solve this problem. Now, you can expect in 2022 and years beyond that we probably won't solve this problem immediately. There is some good news, though, in that the Giving Tuesday numbers are in, and a significant sum was raised. I think it was a 9% increase over the previous year in funds raised by through Giving Tuesday, and all of that money tends to be money raised online. And we can expect that many of those donors might be younger donors. At least we could hope that many of those donors might be younger donors. So let's keep our fingers crossed. But my sense is that we're not going to solve this problem of the declining number of donors anytime soon. In fact, I'm part of an entity that was established to begin looking into reasons for this. There's an organization called the Generosity Commission. It's chaired by someone I have the utmost respect for, Jane Wales, who is a vice president at the Aspen Institute. And Jane, as chair of this Generosity Commission, has also tasked a group that I am co-chairing to consider policy alternatives that might stimulate giving, and to also gather different kinds of data that we might use to better understand what's going on in our society that would keep people from giving to charitable organizations. Now, the Generosity Commission is not only concerned about giving to charity, obviously. We're looking at generosity across the board. Just because you don't give to a particular charity doesn't mean that you're not generous. In fact, we have people who are giving to family members, giving to friends, giving to all sorts of things that are not charitable in nature. And given that people aren't able to get tax deductions for their donations in the same way that they used to, we can expect that that will probably continue. Why give to an organization? I can give to a friend who's in need directly if I want to. And as you know, the increase in the standard deduction has made it less likely that the average person will be able to deduct their charitable donations. So we're unlikely to see, I think, a change in that way people are looking at charities anytime soon. But this Generosity Commission and this group that I am co-chairing along with my friend John Tyler from the Kauffman Foundation, and a great group of people we have assembled on our committee, we will be looking into some of these reasons and trying to figure out what we can do to change this dynamic. So that's giving. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about is cryptocurrency and also maybe the meta world. Some of you may be following developments in cryptocurrency and the metaverse, so to speak. And I wanted to talk about this because it may not be on everyone's radar screen as to what is going on and what some of the potential may be in this particular area. Well, a few years ago, we launched at the Wise Giving Alliance, givesafely.io, which is the first blockchain-based portal where a person can actually donate to a charity, cash or cryptocurrency, and receive something in return, what we call Wise Giving Points. Those Wise Giving Points can then be used to acquire an experience with the charity that will drive that donor closer to understanding the charity's work and actually hopefully being more engaged with that particular charity. So we built givesafely.io mainly because I had a sense that blockchain was going to be a powerful enabler in the years ahead to enable charity and donors to do their work more effectively, to solve more problems, and to engage these communities. Well, as it turned out, we're now a couple of years into this, and what we're seeing is that the infrastructure around the Give Safely work and cryptocurrency donations is beginning to expand. And so this year, we were able to partner with the Giving Block, and the Giving Block has already reached thousands of donors and generated almost $100 million in crypto donations, if not more. And we're looking at being able to partner with this organization to make sure when a charity donates through GiveSafely, that they're able to also convert that cryptocurrency into cash if they choose very seamlessly. And Giving Block does that very well. And we're sure that there will be others that we'll be partnering with on different pieces of this work to make this blockchain-based secure portal more robust and effective both for donors and charities. But while we're doing that, we realized that in addition to giving to charities, there's also the metaverse that we should consider. Now, by the metaverse, we mean this virtual worlds or these virtual worlds that are being created where individuals and institutions can acquire land or property, build entities, and engage people through the metaverse. And I believe that in the years ahead, this is something that charities will be doing because donors will be there and they're going to find new and unique ways to engage people through these virtual worlds. And if you combine artificial intelligence with virtual reality and these virtual worlds and our connected world, we're going to find very interesting and unique use cases for the metaverse. And it's not unnoticed that institutions are seeing that they can expand not only what they do in the metaverse, but the amount of money that they're able to generate through this metaverse concept. So I think that this is an area that charities and donors alike will want to pay some attention to. There's a lot of money being invested in metaverse right now. I even think that Facebook, I understand, has changed their name to Meta, recognizing that there's a potential here. So it's worth following, worth paying some attention to. The third thing I wanted to talk about that I think we'll see continuing into the new year, and we saw a lot of it in 2021 and 2020 for that matter, is the rise in diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in the charitable sector. Now, the charitable sector still has a lot of work to do to create a more diverse and equitable space and place for people to give and to serve. We still see at the highest levels in many organizations, particularly foundations, there isn't room apparently for people of color to serve on boards and to serve in executive suites. And that has to change. And many organizations now are undergoing serious efforts to try to address this. They are embarking on processes within their organizations to understand if they have policies in place or if there are cultural dynamics that limit opportunity for people of color and other diverse groups. And I think this is one of the exciting developments in the sector. And what's really interesting to me is that while there is a moral reason for doing this, clearly many organizations are not only seeing the moral aspects of this, they're seeing the business case for it. If you are serving people who are of diverse backgrounds and you do not have diverse people in your leadership, your organization is not going to be as effective as it might be. And I think organizations are seeing that now and they're beginning to make that shift. In 2022 and beyond, I think these efforts are going to continue to expand. At the Wise Giving Alliance, we will be launching a task force to look into what we can do with our standards to help accelerate the shift to more diverse and inclusive organizations. And many of you may not know, but we evaluate organizations in relation to a set of 20 standards. And when those standards are met, a charity is accredited by us, and charities do seek that accreditation. So we want to see what we can do with our standards to make sure that diversity, equity, and inclusion is also part of what charities should be doing in order to make sure that their organizations are most effective in meeting donor needs and concerns. So I think we can expect more of that next year, for this year as well. And then, of course, there's a whole question of COVID. COVID-19 has rocked the world, obviously, and has put organizations and people in some really difficult situations. Charities have adapted pretty well based on what I'm seeing. Organizations were able to swing their operations into virtual mode. They were able to get out of their offices and put people to work at home and in remote spaces. And this has been able to keep the charitable sector somewhat vital. Also, we saw in 2020 and 2021 that there were government supports in place to help charitable organizations. And kudos to all of the people who enabled the government to pay attention to what charities were experiencing so that many of these organizations could get through those tough periods. Well, we're now in 2022, and while donors have been very generous in supporting organizations in new ways, for instance, organizations that have depended historically on physical events to raise funds, marches, walks, dinners, you name it, many of these events had to be canceled. And donors have continued to support these organizations, fortunately, despite these declines, right? Despite these cancellations. However, we don't know yet whether people will continue to support organizations in these situations. We hope that they will, but it's not clear if those donations will continue to come in if the events can't take place. Now, charities have been very innovative in that they have come up with unique virtual events that people could participate in. And obviously a virtual event is a lot less expensive to put on than a real in-person event. And so charities have actually netted more money from these activities. However, if people decide that they miss these in-person events, or if they don't feel as connected to an organization because now it's been 2 years since they've had an in-person event with an organization, what will that mean to what a charity's able to raise? And will charities come up with more innovative and unique virtual events to keep people engaged? All of this is now something that every charity that does events is out there considering right now. And I can tell you that I know of a number of organizations that have had significant declines in revenue as a result of COVID and not being able to have events. Some organizations depend on in-person activities to service people. Groups like the YMCAs, and they've done a great job of morphing to create different ways of serving communities through their facilities. But what will that mean in 2022? And as the virus and its effects linger, will we get back to a status where we can actually engage charities in person? And will that continue to matter to donors? All of these things, I think, are under consideration and organizations are grappling with right now. The hope, though, and I want to encourage any donor listening to this, continue to love your cause without going to a dinner to hear a speech. Continue to love your cause. Give your money. Support those organizations. Don't feel that because you didn't get to go to the march that there's nothing to support. There's a lot to support. So I just want to put that plug out there for you to continue to support your organization. And then one of the issues that I've been tracking for some time is this need for charities to appreciate that they are no longer the sole province of social good creation. And there are many other players now in the social good space. There are corporations, that are not only making grants to charities, they're operating their own programs now. There are applications, apps, tech that is in generating social good. There are B Corps or hybrid social benefit corporations that are set up as businesses but are enabled now to do charities without being sued by shareholders. And this is a new entrant into the social good space. Not to mention that charities themselves are going to experience at least 70 new thousand organizations, because that's what comes on about every year. Every year we experience 70,000 new organizations. And so the landscape for charitable activity is quite crowded, which is not a bad thing when you think about all the challenges that we have in our society. But there's going to be a competitive landscape for charities, and one in which I think many charitable organizations should consider how they collaborate. So I think that collaboration is going to continue to be an important word for charities to consider and use. And I know some people say partnership, some people say merge, some people say I like collaboration, but working together is what I'm talking about. And we need to think about how we create greater good more than we need to think about whether we can do it ourselves. Because the reality is, it's going to be very difficult to do many new things by ourselves because we're locked into the things that we do. That's how we are as charities. We get locked into the things that we do. But what we need to think about is how do we create new value in a world where new problems are coming up every day that need to be solved. And maybe we're not able to solve those problems alone. Maybe we need to collaborate and support others with resources that we have while they support us with resources, so that we can create new social good. So those are just some of the things that I am following. I mean, I could go into some other things too. I mean, trust obviously will always be the number one currency in our sector. I could talk a lot more about trust, and I could obviously spend a lot more time talking about things like the Great Resignation and the impact that that may have on the ability of charities to actually gather this resources, both volunteer and in person, that they need and paid to do what they need to solve problems. But the main things here are for us all to remain aware, for us all to be as optimistic as we can about the future, and for us all to continue to believe that our society is better because of the work of individuals and organizations that are out there trying to do good and trying to make this world better than it was when we got here. Thanks for listening. I hope you will tune in to some of our other episodes that we have on the Heart of Giving podcast, where we bring you great guests every week who are doing amazing things. And I know that you'll be both informed and inspired hearing their amazing stories. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's terms of service.